Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm not sure. I think I'm over my early onset of Alzheimer's, folks. Well, you know, even the great ones make mistakes from time to time, don't they? I messed up on the clock the last interview. I don't usually do that. I don't know. I may have to go take that test Dr. Amen was talking about in the last hour. But anyway, we got our good friend Tim Berry here. Tim's the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software our good friends, and also one of our partners, one of our sponsor partners, couldn't do without him and Palo Alto. And Tim's the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. He is also the world's business planning expert. He's our good friend. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you again, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Tim, as always. Tim, one of the things that I always started with whenever I did a business plan were what I expected that my business would do. What were the numbers? I actually started with the numbers, not with the narrative. And of course, what we know is that the thing that drives the numbers is our acceptance in the marketplace. What do our customers do for us? Do our customers come in our doors, call our numbers, go to our websites and lay their money down or not? And so even though I start with the numbers, I guess the truth is, you have to start with the customers, don't you?
Oh boy, that goes back to what you really need to start a business to, which you'd think I'd say plan, but I always say what you need to start a business is customers. Mm-hmm. So I agree completely that with your business plan, one of the very first steps in this process is you want to make sure that you have a good, reasonable guess of how many people will walk through the door and lay down some money, whether it's a metaphorical door like the internet or your retail shop or whatever. Mm-hmm. How many people will choose to be customers? That's really important that you understand.
Mm-hmm. And you also, and in order to do that, you have to understand what motivates your customers, or your, maybe we should say, your customer profile. The as a small business owner, it's really important that we understand, isn't it, Tim, that everybody out there is not a prospect for us.
Yes, and what they're looking for. Let me give you a practical example when I deal with businesses as I do startups and looking at early business plans. One example of how people are frequently misunderstanding the customers is the assumption so frequently that if I make this thing for less money, or if I'm cheaper at my restaurant, or my, that customers are directly proportional to the price. One of the classics of economics. There's one that I see not being true. And at least not always being true.
It's the most dangerous attitude a small business owner can have.
Absolutely. Because, and you should explain that when you say that.
Well, what I mean by that is it's real simple, and I've said it 1,000 times on this show, and I'm going to say it 1,000 more times as soon as I can. The price war is over, and we lost. It's that simple. If a small business owner thinks they're going to fight a price war with anybody bigger than they are, forget about it. In fact, it's not even smart business for a small business owner. You don't want to be in a price war. Even if you thought you could win, why be in a price war? Because that means you've got tight margins. When small business owners can do things that will give them nice margins by doing the things that only small business owners can do. Stop me before. Get me off my soapbox here, Tim.
Here's the point for when we're talking about doing the business plan and the customers is we really need and can benefit from taking some time to know the customers and understand what they need and what they want.
Yep.
So many examples of business. I dealt with a business plan once for fish tacos in New Orleans. The guy lived in San Diego, and fish tacos are big in San Diego, but they had never heard of them at the time in New Orleans. It was a good, solid plan, but I turned and asked him, okay, do they like fish tacos in New Orleans? And I was very worried with the answer being, well, yeah, sure, don't they? No, wait a minute, have you ever given fish tacos in New Orleans? Well, no. So we got into, okay, the business plan looks fine, but let's get some credibility here. Give away some tacos in New Orleans and see if they eat them.
Yeah, especially if they've never heard of them. That's like taking crawfish etouffee to San Diego, right? Stand by, Tim. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about need and want. Tim brought up those two words, need and want. And I think that's an important thing. As you may know, that's a big thing for me, is the difference between what our customers need and what they want. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. And let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Phyllis Martin is our word watcher. She's going to join us and help us make sure that the words that we use are the good words and not the ones that are unsuccessful. Make sure we talk about things that are and use the words that will help us to be successful. And then we're going to have another visit with the ladies from Ruby Tuesdays. Remember the last time they were here and we talked about how to make sure we eat right? Well, small business owners, I'm trying to focus on this myself. I hope you are, so we can live longer and enjoy our businesses longer. And we're going to get them back on the show, and that's coming up in the show straight ahead. And then after that, Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're visiting with Tim Berry, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software. Tim, give us your website, please.
www.bplans.com, B-P-L-A-N-S.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
And at B-Plans, we have the entirely free business planning resource that is most visited on the web. We have more than 60 business plans that are posted there free, complete plans that other people have written and been successful with. Mm-hmm. And we have more than 4,000 answers to questions that have come up. We have tools that you can use to estimate cash flow and do break-even and things like that on bplans.com. That's all free.
Check that out when you get a chance, folks.
And then our store site, our support site, where we offer Business Plan Pro, which is the market-leading business plan software, mm-hmm. is at www.paloalto.com.
And they can also link from the B-Plans over there.
Yes.
They can get right over there.
Yeah.
Tim, I mentioned that you said something a minute ago. In one sentence, you used two words, need and want. And if I saw a small business owner writing a business plan and they were focusing on what their customers need, I would tell them to not do that. And I would tell them to take whatever it is that they thought their customers needed and identify that in your plan as what the big box companies provide, the commodities. People buy, when they need something, they buy it in commodity form. They don't care what it looks like. They don't care how much trouble it takes them to get it. They just want the price, because what they need, they don't care about the price. They do care about the price. But I would tell them to focus on not what customers need, but what they want, because what they want, they'll pay a premium for. And at that level, at the premium price level, that's where small business owners are more likely to be successful. I'd like your thoughts on that.
I like that a lot, Jim, and you're reminding me, the other day I stopped off at a little store by the mountains. We were going on a hike, and I bought 4 bottles of water because we were going to go on a hike. And as I paid for the water, the woman across the counter sort of smiled and paused, and she said, isn't it funny that people scream like mad about $2 per gallon for gas, but they happily pay $5 per gallon for water. Now, I need water more than gas.
Right.
But still, it seems more plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when it's bottled up nice and we connect it with health and life activities and things like that.
Well, and convenience. It's right there that you can put it in your pocket. What's that worth?
Well, And here it is. This is an example of we'll pay so much more for stuff we want because, hey, I could fill up a canteen, right? Yeah, right out of the faucet.
Right.
But we see people all over with bottled water. I think that speaks to what you're saying.
Well, as I've said before, and my favorite examples are, is let's take food. I mean, if you're going to be in a restaurant business, the big companies have already taken care of what people need. You know, was it Ray Kroc who said we don't serve people. We tank them up. We give them fuel, basically. You know, they're not dining with us. They're just you know, not trying to not starve. And he didn't have any pretense about their food. I mean, sure, I'm not saying their hamburgers aren't good, but basically they're going there to get a burger to tide them over until dinner or whatever. And so if you're in a restaurant, don't try to tank people up. If you're a small restaurant, help them dine. Get them, and that doesn't mean you have to.
So you're not competing with McDonald's,
exactly.
Because that's what ultimately there are things that people want aside from what it takes McDonald's to provide.
Right.
And if you're in a small business, you want to make sure that your resources match so that the business has enough resources to generate what it wants, and you can't do that easily being McDonald's.
And now, help us build the business plan off of that, Tim.
The thing I worry about in business plans related to this is it's the one portion of the business plan that most depends on getting a little bit outside of your normal routine and your office and going out and exploring. I don't think most people can afford what we always shrink when we say market research, because that sounds like thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. And it is.
But, yeah, and it is. But I think because we can't afford market research, we don't think about let's do our own impromptu market research. Let's call 30 of our potential customers and talk to the three or four of them who will actually take the call. Mm-hmm. And let's ask them some questions, and let's really get outside of ourselves and test our hunches with what people say and what people seem to think they need or think they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people won't do everything they say they're going to do when you talk to them, but that's why we're in business. We're guessing what people are going to do.
Absolutely.
But we want an educated guess.
And you know, the interesting thing about the wanting and the needing, if I'm hungry at lunch and I need food, I can pay 89 cents to buy a McDonald's hamburger, but why would I pay $2.50 for a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A? It's because I want chicken. I don't just want food, I want chicken. And there's a lesson in there for small business owners, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Lots of things you can do there. It's pretty much small business heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter when you get there. Tim Berry is our guest. He's the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software, the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. Tim, we were talking about trying to identify what customers want so that we can give them that, not what they need, which is what they want, they'll pay a premium for. But how do we find that out? Is there you have any tricks that small business owners can use to do the market research to find out not only what people want, but what they're willing to pay for what they want?
I like the phrase shoe leather research, because market research sounds so expensive. The guy with the restaurant that I mentioned from New Orleans cooked up a batch of the fish tacos, went to the corner, gave them away, and then had somebody check the garbage cans in 50 feet in any direction to see if people were eating them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get unfancy and park across the street, for example. If you're looking at going into a shoe store business, park across the street from a few shoe stores and see how many people come out with boxes. Call somebody who's in a similar business, who maybe if you're in one state, call somebody in the next state because they don't worry about you competing, and ask them what's going on. And mostly call real people and try to get them to buy.
We've even done
some product research with products that will talk to people a year before the product is available and let them pre-order for a fabulous price.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see if they order it.
How about this, Tim? This is a question I'd like to do some research on, and I may actually do this one of these days. I believe that today, more than ever before, and it's getting farther and farther down the economic chain, more and more people are valuing their time more than they are their money. And so I would want to ask people this. If I could save you, if you have any task that you want to, that you need to have performed, it's, you know, getting your tires rotated, getting your oil changed, getting, you know, getting socks or underwear or whatever it might be. If I could save you an hour, or if I could prevent you from having to do it at all, what would that be worth to you?
Yeah, no kidding. People will give you a lot of information if you give them a chance. And some of it's easier to get the negative information, too. It's easier to get people to not buy. Well, it's easier to eliminate possibilities because people are much quicker to say, no, I don't want that, than they are to say, oh, yeah, maybe. And, oh, I would buy that in the future, and maybe.
So
and
what
maybe
you should ask
string
them
is eliminate
the things you won't buy, and then we'll talk about the three that you might buy.
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
Yeah. Just the psychology of how people deal with strangers on the phone, for example. If you get the questions in a way that they can dismiss some things, it can become very valuable to you to know what to dismiss.
Right. And then when you have this information, when you do the shoe leather research and you find out what you think customers want, then you take that information and you do the math on it, you do the numbers, and you build your business plan around that.
Well, and you know, when people are looking at these fledgling business plans, what's going to succeed, and people are guessing on that, one of the first things they look at is proof of revenue that somebody has actually bought. Even if it's only, we did a stand on Saturdays for fish tacos in Baton Rouge, but that people have actually purchased this product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great, if you can ever come up with the experiment to sell it and to have people put their money down, that tells you so much more than what people say they're going to do. Will they buy this thing? And if your business plan is going somewhere, if it can have real revenues as part of the market research, we didn't just ask people what they liked. We test marketed. We sold these products to this kind of people, and here's what we found out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well done, Tim. Give us your website again, please.
www.bplans.com.
All right, and that's the site where you can go and find out about all the different kinds of business plans that are there. You can read about them and see if there's one there that fits closely to what you're working on. You can see how it actually looks. Tim Berry, thank you for being here. Good job as always. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Jim.
Thanks, Tim. See you next time. Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, the president of Palo Alto Software. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.